Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. This is Lydia Aranda, and I am your host. We are at Rainmakers this fine Monday morning, April 14th. Hope everybody's getting their taxes wrapped up, or maybe they've already done that. Don't forget, tomorrow is tax day. And we are here this morning in the KVOI studios as part of the Morning Voice. Our guest this morning is Royce Sparks. Royce is with Intermountain Centers for Human Development. Sorry about that. Because, in fact, I think Intermountain has several different divisions that have very similar names. Royce, you're going to tell us a little bit more about that. But let me just say welcome. Bienvenida. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, good morning, Lydia. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And, of course, we've got our master producer, Mr. Matt Neely, behind the glass. Matt, welcome back. You were off last week, a little vacation. How did that go?
It went very well. So I had a very relaxing week off.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, of course, Brendan Kraft did a great job all
yes,
week
he did.
Long. He kept us all afloat, kept us on
Absolutely.
Time. But I know that time off is so essential, and especially during these spring wonderful weather that we've been having, but it has been a little bit hot.
Just a touch.
Yes, a little bit warmer than usual.
But it's going to cool off. It'll get a little windy, but it'll cool off a little bit after midweek.
You know, I love the heat. I get a little nervous when we're only in April and it's getting this warm, but
right.
I also then remember that we love our Novembers and our Januarys and our Februarys, so it's okay. Well, welcome back. We're so excited today to be speaking with Mr. Royce Sparks, who oversees philanthropy and communications at Intermountain. Royce, tell us a little bit about your role, and then I want to get into the background of how you came to Tucson to be in this role and all those good things, because anyone who doesn't know Royce might not know that he's a graduate of the University of London and also a master class lecturer, has been at the University College London on their MSc, Master of Science in Management. So many things we want to talk about, including what got you to this role here at Intermountain.
Wow. It's been a journey for sure. So to first answer your question, the communications and philanthropy department, mm-hmm. we used to be the marketing and fundraising department. And we rebranded this past year because we realized that community is such an important part of what we do. And so rather than thinking of ourselves in terms of marketing, Intermountain's mission has always been community facing. We are very much about the neighborhoods we serve, the individuals, the families, and that's quite a lot. We serve about 30,000 across the state every year.
Wow.
It's a nice number for sure, and there's plenty more to be done, so we're always thinking of, you know, the ways we can continue to expand. But really, our department is about building bridges in communities, with partnerships, you know, with potential givers, donors, but really also just other organizations and companies. Intermountain, this was the thing when I first applied. I was like, I've never heard of Intermountain. Who is this organization? And this is the number one thing I commonly get, right? Who are you? What do you do? And so people are quite shocked to learn we're probably one of the largest nonprofits in Southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really becomes the question is, how do we get the awareness out there? Because for so long, we didn't market. It was all in-network referrals. It was all through partnerships, providers. And that's great, but people get excited about our mission.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Well, you help people do well in their strengths and help strengthen other areas that need that. And you help provide housing. You help provide behavioral health services and the wraparound services, the support services, and also a lot of programs, as I understand, more and more.
It's really like one of those Russian dolls. You know, it's been a year and a half for me, and I'm still learning different pieces of the programs and the services. But to answer your question, yeah, the best way to think about what we do is a continuum of programs, right? All with the goal of empowering communities and families to stand on their own. So from behavioral counseling, addiction services, we do foster care. We have a 1st through 12th autism academy, which also has the largest workforce development program for youth with autism in the state. So we really try and focus on what are the needs of the communities we're seeing, what are the pain points, and then as best as we can, we create programs and services to support that, or we build and develop on the existing ones we've got.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, what I've always liked, and I agree with you, I think it's one of the best kept secrets. There's so many wonderful organizations in the community that are exactly that. Mm-hmm. That unless the doctor or the counselor or the teacher or someone else refers a constituent, a customer, a client over there to whatever that might be. You know, it's really hard to find out about these things, but that's actually one of the wonderful things about Rainmakers. We try to shine some light on those who are helping others and helping our community thrive. So I'm so excited that you and I have been able to speak, and we're going to do a little bit deeper dive into some of these things, but I want to let the listeners know that one of the things that you individually and Intermountain has always been so supportive, but you individually have experienced the Social Venture Partners Fast Pitch. You were one of this year's cohort members, and you did your pitch on stage at the Fox Theater a couple weeks ago. Oh, you did a great job.
Thank you.
I was there. Anyone who was there knows. But I am so excited that that's actually a really good amplifier out into the public when folks get into participating in Fast Pitch in that program. How was your experience? What did you think about it?
Oh boy. I mean, there's so many good things to say about the Fast Pitch journey. So, you know, to start with, fully agree with you, Juan Harp. Actually, to take it back one more step, one of the most exciting things for me about the cohort was I hadn't heard of maybe two-thirds of the nonprofits who were in the group with me.
Wow.
So that was a great opportunity to do a deep dive. And like you had said, some of these other amazing nonprofits in our community. Now moving to the Intermountain focus, we were so excited to be a part of it because it was the kind of exposure and marketing that we were hoping for, which is to let community members know we're out here, we're doing stuff in the community we're really passionate about, and we can be of service to you. So that kicked things off in a great direction. The experience itself was amazing. It was at times nerve-wracking, and there were many headaches. I think I've lost track of how many drafts of my pitch I went through. I think we're on like number 30 or something like that before I said, we just got to go with this one. And it happened to be the one I felt the best about. But the whole program, you know, from day one, they had said to us, this is not a competition. Right. Right. Like you actually believe that. And they actually managed to walk the walk on that, which is incredible.
Yes.
We bonded so much, mostly because we were all in the same set of struggles. But through this process, we just embraced such a deeper value of service, you know, of our communities. And so the Fast Pitch process, it really does put you through the ringer, but it also makes you fall so in love with the main nonprofits in these communities that you'd never heard of.
Well, and the people, the members of those organizations are not necessarily the CEOs or the executive directors. Sometimes they are, but it seems that also they are, the like you, a very critical member of senior management, of strategy, and crucial as a connector out into community. So often they have a role like yours, director of communications and philanthropy, which means, like you said, engagement, inclusion, information going out, people understanding and coming in. Others who I saw on the stage have roles that are in HR, for example, in staffing, but they very much are crucial parts of the team also and need to have that pitch because not only are they perhaps recruiting, certainly they're receiving the applicants to be on the team, but they then have that day-to-day job internally to manage the team members that are, or maybe oversee or help train the team members that are in that organization. So understanding that pitch and as a part of the mission is a real benefit.
Absolutely. I mean, to what you had said, Angelica from Compass Affordable Housing.
That's who I was talking about. That's exactly who I was thinking
of. I hope you can get her here. She is such an incredible advocate and maven. But you know, I had this, first off, she's one of the loveliest people to work with. She became such a support unit for our group. But how cool is it that an HR representative wants to go and champion their organization? Right? That's what everyone wants in HR department. Intermountain's really lucky with the HR department we've got, but not everyone's as fortunate, right? So to have an HR department so passionate about your mission, going out there and advocating on the front foot, that was really an inspiration to me.
Oh, I just get so excited hearing the stories of how the cohort members really collaborated with each other in the sense of of that support. That's what a cohort's supposed to do, whether it's in graduate school or a leadership development program. Mm. Like, I consider that to be this. Not only is it an organizational development program for all the nonprofits and that participate, and also for others to learn about. I think SVP has done a great job there. And as I understand it, we're very lucky here with our SVP of Tucson, our Social Venture Partners Tucson, because it is one of the affiliates of the more national and global organization. It seems to have the recognition as being the strongest fast pitch group. And I think not all the groups have a fast pitch, and not all the affiliates. I'm not sure I have all the details correct there, but that's what I had heard from some of the folks in the SVP world.
I'm not surprised. It's not surprising when you've got a force like Brittany Battle, you know, behind this, who just has such a keen, insightful sense of how to structure a program and worked with us so deeply to be a support unit for us. And you've got her, and then you've got Anne, who I think you talked to.
Yes, Anne was on last month with us. She's incredible.
She's a lightning bolt, right?
And from her early days in telecom, we all were speaking about our backgrounds, actually, being telecom operators back in the day when and that I'm sure is another best kept secret. Sometimes our younger listeners might be saying, what's an operator? But we'll save that for another discussion.
Ask you, tell us what an operator is.
We are that voice that you hear when folks used to call to get help with a collection call or information, and now so many things are automated. But you know what? We will talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We're ready for our first break. You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI, The Voice. And we're back. Good morning. This is Lydia Aranda, your host for Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice here on KVOI. We are here this morning. We were just listening to some great music by Stevie Wonder during the break. And our guest this morning is Mr. Roy Sparks. Roy, it's so great to have you here this morning talking about your role with Intermountain and also your experience as the 2025 cohort member with Social Venture Partners Tucson and the Fast Pitch. So again, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
We were just speaking before the break, excuse me, a little bit about roles that folks have in their nonprofit organizations and the role that Fast Pitch has in bringing out those different team members and helping them work on tightening up a pitch, tightening up that 30-second elevator speed. Message that I think it's important for everybody as part of a team, part of a group, part of an organization to have and to hone so they can tell the rest of the world what it is they do.
This was the biggest challenge I ran into, because Intermountain's mission is very systemic and it's very big and complex, right?
That's right.
So we have 3 minutes to go on the stage and not only tell a story, but ask for something and ask for something specific and impactful. So this was the biggest kind of boulder that I was pushing up through the whole process, is how do you take a very ingrained, complex mission and you boil it down into something very short? And I think my first pitch was 3 minutes full of just mission talk. And it you could see the eyes glazing back. People are trying to be supportive, but this was not landing. And we got it down to about probably 8 seconds. So that process was worth its weight in gold, to be able to understand how do you communicate something so complex and so unique and so systemic in just a few seconds. We often think we need hours and hours to talk about the impact of our work, because nonprofit people are so passionate and they love what they do and they're doing incredible things. You know, without our nonprofits, our communities fall apart. But to realize you have that power to deliver in 5 seconds something that absolutely captures the mind and the heart of your listener was huge. So I can't thank SVP enough for that set of tools alone.
Well, you hit right on the mark by saying you have to take something that's very complex. And of course, you're the director of communications over at Intermountain.
I should be better at this.
Well, but not exactly, because your job, I would guess, and I'd love for you to tell us more about it, but I'm guessing that it has to do with perhaps many different styles of communication, meaning you have to write press releases, you have to be able to perhaps design highlights of a speech for not only yourself, but your other leaders, your other board members maybe. You have to be behind what type of write-up is happening on a web page, in collateral that might be in print, all those things that are so different. And then, of course, social media, which are quicker hits, but still often are many words. So to then verbally have to hit the right words for 6 seconds so that you can use the rest of that 2.5 minutes telling a story, perhaps, or really hooking people into something that might be important to them. Knowing your audience is very important too.
Yeah, well said. It's a balancing act, right, between understanding the mission and trying to be a voice for that mission, but then also the individualization that comes to it. Who am I talking to right now? You know, how what Lydia, for example, might want to talk about might be different than, you know, a donor or someone else who, you know, has a very specific focus. And so the question always on my mind is, how do we stay true to the integrity of the mission, but also how do we dive deeply sometimes into the nuances of a program, right? What's that line when you're talking with someone between too much information versus not enough? And that really is part of the fun and challenge of this job.
I think you say it so well when you point out that there are fun and challenges in each and every role, and not only in your experience in the cohort of SVP Tucson, but you are currently one of the cohorts in Greater Tucson Leadership Lead Tucson 2025 class, the GTL. So would love to hear a little bit about that. But before we get to that, I'd like to go back a little bit into your career journey, into your educational background, into your experiences, because, again, graduate of the University of London Royal Central School of Speech and Drama. You are an author, not just once, but thrice. I understand. And also in your teaching in the UK, in Europe, in Canada, and across the US, working with so many different executives, but also teaching. There's one thing to train or to lead your team, your colleagues and peers, and also your superiors. But then when you're teaching students, sounds like something got you into that bug of really so many different things. Tell us about it. So born and raised, and where'd you go from there, and what got you interested?
Well, I was a Tucson native. There aren't many of us, although I meet a lot of Tucson natives, and we all say the same thing. There just aren't many of us, but sure, a lot of people saying that. And travel was always a very big part of my life. So I actually grew up for about 10 years on and off in Botswana. My mom ran a nonprofit out there, and so she kind of dragged me along with the suitcases. And that kind of got the travel bug in me. And, you know, theater was a really big part of my life, and I found very quickly that I like doing it, but I like teaching it more. So I wanted to become a better teacher and coach. It was really great. It was a really liberating moment to say, actually, I don't want to be an actor. I want to do something on the other side of it and support other people. And so the degree I got from the University of London was MA in actor training and coaching. So it was right up my alley and right with my passions. And I stayed in London for about 7 years after that and ran my own coaching company. So our whole ethos was about working with low-income actors, and there are a lot of them, and offering free or as much low-cost training as we could.
Wonderful.
It was great. The problem is it's tricky to pay the bills in a city like that. So business coaching became the other side of the story. And we began to work with everyone from landscaping companies to, there are landscaping companies in England, I found out, and, you know, banking sectors and, you know, just everywhere. And so that gave me a really interesting perspective of not needing to be in the nuances of, you know, a leader's journey, for example, but to recognize the challenges they were going through.
Right.
Whether it was public speaking, negotiations, trying to build a partnership. And we did that for about 7 years and had a lot of really cool results from it. And at the end, someone said, you should write a book. So I did. And that was my first book, was on the approach to acting that we were teaching business people. And a lot of the wisdom in that ran counter to some of the more popular trains of leadership training, right? So, you know, improvisation is a very classical staple in a lot of leadership training. And we took a very opposite stance on that, which is you are not, you know, it's great to have problem solving skills and creativity, but as a speaker, you're not the solution, right? The other person, the audience, you know, whoever that is, they're the answer for you. And so the goal of great leadership training when it comes to public speaking is getting the attention off of you and onto the other person. And that was a really interesting thing for us to get in the space with that kind of a different perspective.
That really is interesting. And I'm wondering, in concept, if that was a harder sell than just demonstrating it and showing it, and then people had their aha moment, perhaps?
100%. Because, and it's human nature, right? We want to be the ones in control of our situation. And we want to be the ones in control of our speech, our pitch, the negotiation. But the really tricky thing is coming to the realization that the moment is ultimately what decides that. And I don't know the future any better than you do. And we can make a plan, but in the moment, we have to have that sensitivity and attunement to what is happening in the room, mm-hmm. on the night, you know, in the boardroom, in the meeting, or else we're going to lose people, right? The audience takes their cues from us in real time.
You bet.
Yeah.
You're reminding me, so I'm a student, a scholar of communications as well. My undergrad is in intercultural communication, and I
Amazing.
Went through a lot of the classes, the mass communication, the small group communication, and all of the concepts. And one that just the most basic principle that a message, the meaning of a message is not what the sender sends out, it's always what the receiver pulls in.
Yeah.
And I kind of hear that's what you're saying there too, is that the leader, the executive who's speaking or presenting or engaging really hasn't hit the mark until that audience takes something away from it.
And my acting teacher used to say that it ain't the message sent, Royce, it's the message received. But there's a truth to that, right?
That's
is
right.
that we can come in with any game plan and it can be the best in our minds. But if it's not landing with you, there's not really much value. So it's that extra final step of connecting with you and saying, what's here, you know?
That's right. Well, we are about to go off to our next commercial break. Listeners, you've been on hearing us on Rainmakers with Mr. Roy Sparks. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. We will be back shortly. And we're back on our second half hour of Monday, April 14th. At Rainmakers. Here, I'm Lydia Aranda, your host for Rainmakers on The Morning Voice here at KVOI. And in studio with me this morning is Mr. Royce Sparks. Royce is the Director of Communication and Philanthropy at Intermountain Centers for Human Development. He is also a member of the 2025 cohort of SVP Tucson's Fast Pitch and also part of Greater Tucson Leadership Lead Tucson 2025 class, an author, a Tucson native, a teacher, of many levels in the art of leadership and what that has to do with acting and the just the similarities between acting and business, being an actor, being an executive. Royce, it's great to have you here in studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us, as we were speaking before the break, tell us a little bit more about as your career journey went on and you were moving from being in the focus of acting and translating that over into business coaching, not only teaching actors the many skills there, but taking the pieces and parts and putting that into leadership development, executive coaching, business coaching. All of that experience not only has been great to put into three books, as you are a published author of three books with Taylor and Francis have been your publishers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how all of that experience then translates into the kind of work that you do at Intermountain Centers for Human Development.
Sure. So a little bit of background. You know, the reason I moved out of that space directly was COVID happened.
Okay.
And at the time, our coaching company had moved partially online. So we did totally fine with that. And we were very lucky. Just it was happenstance. And the big challenge for us was we couldn't do in-person training anymore for the actors we were serving. We didn't want to. At that time, we had so little information about what the long-term effects of this, you know, illness were. And so we didn't want to risk that. And so by 2022, that's when I started to think, okay, I need a change right now. And, you know, I wanted to do something mission-driven. And I wanted to be with an organization that supported people of all ages and community. And so moving then into Intermountain really felt like a great bridge for me of those skills and of being able to take those pieces of the communication puzzle that I'd worked with many leaders on, in coaching sessions and in classes and start applying them to my own work in how to communicate a mission, and especially a complicated one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fascinating puzzle. I'm still working on it, but but it's been great to kind of engage and lock horns with that.
And tell us, at Intermountain Centers for Human Development, mm-hmm. and all of the different divisions, departments, programs, you not only serve the greater Tucson area, but all of Pima County, and also you're in Pinal County, is that correct?
We have about 30 sites across the state.
Didn't do enough of my homework.
No, this is the Russian, egg doll, or whatever it is, yeah. So we are in Pima County, Pinal County, Tucson, Phoenix, we're in Casa Grande, we're in Nogales, we're in Flagstaff. So one of the tricky things about Intermountain, as far as trying to do your research on, is we are a bit of an umbrella organization as well.
Yes.
In marketing, we call ourselves a house of brands. And so that's part of the fun as a marketer, is to figure out how do we continue to get the individual identity of each affiliate out. But you might know, if you're in the Phoenix area, some of our other affiliates are Family Service Agency, Agency, mm-hmm. Rio Salado Behavioral Health Systems,
yes.
Community Partners. So we have quite a large imprint, but we've diversified when it comes to our names.
Fantastic. Mm. I think I like that phrase, house of brands. Back in my private sector and corporate days, it was always, how many business lines or lines of business,
yeah.
Certainly in my different nonprofit leadership experience, you have subsidiaries or again, divisions, departments, regions. And it can be confusing to the general public because they're not in the organization, and I think that's not only the challenge, but then the great service that communications departments, marketing departments, and people who know the pitch, if you will, are able to then inform the community of how or why they might find an Intermountain useful for their needs.
It's a daily headache that is also the most fun you could have, right? So, and we get this all the time. People come up to us and say, Intermountain, you're the autism services organization. And we'll go, yes. And did you know we also do, these
blah,
other
blah,
15
blah.
Things, right? Intermountain, you're the addiction services. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. However, have you heard of, da, da, da. And
And I'm sorry to jump in, but I think right there, that's a great example. And maybe to some of our listeners, they might be understanding, because you don't often hear about services, programs, and attention to autism in the same organization that also is attentive to perhaps addiction and sobriety.
100%.
It often can be specialized, so it's wonderful that you have all that.
Well, and this is the thing that blows me away about being at Intermountain, right? And to your point, I pitched foster care on stage at Fast Pitch, right? So people who knew our autism services, for example, were like, well, that came out of left field, and that's part of the fun. But to that point, it's a constant opportunity to increase the passion of people and to let them know, here's what you know us for. Here is the services that we can provide, but we can also do these many other things.
One of the other things that you do is highlight the successes that are going on out in community, not only in your own services or maybe some of your alliance partners, some of your colleagues in collaborative organizations, but I think individuals as well within your organization or just out in community, they're making great things happen. And that's Heroes, the Stars Among Us. Is that the event?
Right. Okay.
And this year you're doing something a little different. Why don't we tell our listeners about it?
I would love to. So I am a foodie. I'm openly admitted a foodie. And so
you're among safe,
I'm
friendly
among
people
friends,
here.
Yeah. So it's not to say I nudged this in a particular direction. It was actually our CEO's idea and we loved it. Stars Among Us is really about community, and it's about uplifting individuals and organizations in our communities who are doing incredible things, who just might not get that recognition. They might be the hero down the road, but you've never heard of them. It's a similar story, sometimes we go through.
Sure.
And so this is an opportunity for us to really highlight the incredible people in the community. So this year, we've done a lot of things in the past. We've done, we've done science and we've done all sorts of great stuff. But this year we said the Tucson food scene is internationally known. right? We're a UNESCO city of gastronomy. How
the first in North America.
Right. It's incredible. How does that happen? And how are we not celebrating this more? And we have a vibrant food scene that celebrates this, by the way. Tucson Foodie is incredible about this.
So many other orgs do a lot of attention there. Just Tucson Originals and the attention they bring to the uniqueness.
1,000,000%. We partnered with SACA for the Southern Arizona Arts and Culture Alliance. Kate Marquez was so great. And you could just feel the passion for the Tucson food scene throughout. She helped us actually bring in some artists who will be at this event. So the event is on April 24th from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's at our Bonita site at 401 North Bonita Avenue. And basically, this is going to be a food scene bonanza. We're going to have 15 to 20 different food trucks and vendors all representing the diversity of the Tucson food scene. And in a moment, I'll talk about a very cool piece of that we've partnered with Tucson Foodie on. But Kate from SACA has helped us bring in artists who are going to be doing food-themed art as well. They will be painting with food ingredients. They will be doing things around community and food culture. So you'll be able to get some great food and walk around, see some live art happening in real time.
And to see how to play with your food, sounds like.
Yeah, right, exactly. Going back to our childhood lessons. This time we do play with our food. So the exciting other piece that we're partnering with Tucson Foodie on, and for all your listeners, keep an eye on their channels this week. Chef Devin Sanner, who is an Iron Chef finalist and also the president of the Gastronomic Union of Tucson, has donated for the event a private chef experience.
Oh, wonderful.
For 6 to 10 people, he's going to come to your home and he's going to make you an incredible Iron Chef level meal. This will be a giveaway that Tucson Foodie is going to be hosting, so check their channels. It's no purchase to enter, and it's just going to raise some great awareness for this event. So hopefully everyone can enter, but we'd love to see as many community members there as possible on the 24th.
That's wonderful. And if people want to get their tickets, they can find them online at the Intermountain website.
Absolutely.
Perhaps by contacting you or one of your team.
You can get in touch with us, but on the Intermountain website, if you go to News and Events, there's a drop down that says Foodie Event. It takes you right to the ticket page.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, now my mouth is watering with all that idea of, of food trucks. We do have such great culinary experiences here in Southern Arizona. We're about to take another break, so let's talk more about that when we get back.
Look forward to it.
You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI, The Voice. 10:30 a.m. And we're back. This is Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we've been speaking this morning during our first hour with Royce Sparks of Intermountain Centers for Human Development and also one of the cohort fast pitchers at Fox Theater a couple weeks ago. Royce, it's been incredible to hear how you felt fast pitch training and experience with your other cohort members has really impacted not only you as an individual and you as a leader, but has helped bring more recognition to your organization and so many others.
It's such a unique program because, you know, we have so many great nonprofits in this community and they're all doing amazing work, but it's really hard to find them. And so that you've got a program like Fast Pitch that can actually gather. You know, it's tough because it's competitive.
Sure.
I think this was my third year applying for it.
Not, oh, wow.
Well, Intermountain had applied for it. This was our third year. But for other organizations as well, I had also applied for it because I really wanted to be a part of it both personally as well as organizationally. So to have a program that highlights these nonprofits and gets, I think we had something like 730 people at the Fox, you know.
It was full. It was a full awesome night. And it was really cold that night, too.
Yeah, and they totally lied to me. They were like, don't worry, the spotlights will be in your eyes. You won't see anything. And I got out on stage. I was like, I see every single person.
I see everyone, and I know them all.
And, yeah, exactly. And they're looking at me. No, but it was great energy coming off of the audience. Yes. There was so much love and so much care that night. And just you felt the commitment to our nonprofits in the room. So to have a program like Fast Pitch that highlights what we're doing, and it's a great night to celebrate the mission. I mean, we had a few staff members who came, and these are people who are boots on the ground. They're providing sometimes very hard services to families in need. And for them to see people cheering for our mission, I think really was huge for the company culture as well. But the ripple effect of starting to get the name out there and really starting to put us on the radar in a different way, it's priceless. You couldn't pay for marketing that personal and great.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. And also what I think is really fabulous is now you are forevermore a member, an alumna, an alum, along with several other alumni of the cohort experience, of the fast pitch experience. And now that's a network unique to your use, but also the community at large gets to go back over 10 years. This was the 10th fast pitch. So that's a lot of folks being able to not only speak about their organizations, but really find out where and how they might collaborate with others. And I think you and I have talked about this, and our listeners have heard me say this since the beginning of Rainmakers, that really the secret in the sauce is all about collaboration. And that means something different all the time. It different pieces and parts come together to hopefully work on or tackle a challenge, provide solution, or simply provide opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's about love too. Love is this, you know, that's what fuels us. And we can say that's naive or simplistic, but really at its core, it's a love of community and a love of service. And that's what lights the fire for all these great collaborations. So I think you're spot on.
Well, and what else happens, I think, at whenever there's an opportunity to amplify in aggregate, it also shows that it's just not nonprofits talking to other nonprofits. There are private donors in there. There are foundations in there. There are corporate givers and leaders who provide corporate giving. And then the community at large who may just need a service and didn't know anybody was available to them. So it's great all the way around. And I want to make sure before... in case anybody else has a question about it, that they hear one more time if they didn't hear it in the last segment, that Stars Among Us this year is going to be new. It's got it's the foodie edition.
Foodie edition.
And that's happening April 24th at your Bonita Avenue campus from 5 to 7 outside. I'm sure the weather's going to be fabulous, and it sounds like there are going to be some artsy things to do, playing with our food and sauces and ingredients, but also just the opportunity to taste and sip and break bread with others.
It's about community. You know, it's a tender time right now, and I think we're all realizing how important community is, and that it is the only way we're going to move through a lot of this ambiguity and uncertainty is by coming together. And so what better way to build relationships and to be with each other than just to break bread, like you said?
What a great idea Rose had, your fearless leader who loves...
She nailed it.
Yeah, she really nailed it. And you're doing a great job in speaking with and also listening to the community. So congratulations to you, Royce Sparks of Intermountain Centers for Human Development. Your communications and philanthropy work is really fabulous. And I have no doubt that your organization is very proud of you.
It's a team effort, and I'm lucky to be part of such a great team.
Well, we've enjoyed having you here this morning. And listeners, stay tuned because next up is going to be Mr. Eugene Carter of Legal Shield and ID Shield, but also board member. He plays a very important role to another organization called Treasures for Teachers Tucson. So, Royce, it's been great having you on, and I hope you stick around and listen to our next segment.
I look forward to it, Lydia. Thank you so much for having me on.
Listeners, we'll be back. Good morning. You are listening to Rainmakers, the Monday segment of the Morning Voice weekday positive talk radio show here at KVOI. Matt, that was just a great rundown of some of the latest headlines. Just a few. It sounds like we've got a little bit of traffic challenges coming and going as usual, but we're going to have another warm day. And I like to focus on that. There have been a lot of other kind of crazy attacks going on. I don't know if it's the full moon recently or people are just a little bit nervous, but hopefully this will be a better week for everyone.
Indeed. Let's hope.
So on Rainmakers this morning, if you've been listening to our first hour, we had Mr. Roy Sparks, who is from Intermountain Centers for Human Development and was a member of the 2025 cohort of Social Venture Partners Tucson. And now we're going into our second hour with our next guest, Mr. Eugene Carter, who is not only a colleague and a friend, he does great work with Legal Shield and ID Shield, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that. But he also wears one of his many community service and community leader hats that he wears is as a member of the board of directors of a great organization called Treasures for Teachers Tucson. Mr. Carter, welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invitation to show up this morning, and it's always great to see you. So thank you for this time.
Thank you. It's so exciting to be here with you. And I know a lot about you. I'm so excited to have you talk about the many things that we've discussed or worked on together out in community. But rather than me tell that story, maybe you can start with a little bit of your background.
Ooh. Well, I'm originally from Sacramento, California.
Wonderful.
Just north of the Bay Area there in California. Most of my adult life I've spent in the military. The Air Force paid me, but I worked with all branches of the military and some of the operational work that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then ended up here in Tucson. And of course, most of the people that have been here or leave end up coming back. So why leave and come back? Just take different trips and visit other places. So just trying to do that. And of course, work in the community and do whatever I can to support, because we can't pay back to those that have paid forward or provided assistance to us. So we can do that paying forward.
That's right. I absolutely agree with you in that. And you do it so well. I have, for anyone who's listening there, they might be wondering, how did Lydia ever get to know Eugene Carter? And I think it is from seeing you at attending and participating in so many different kind of community events. We have several colleagues in common, friends in common, professional friends and personal friends. And that has led us to actually be a part of other things in community. One of the things that I love that you do, I'm so excited to get to talk about Treasures for Teachers Tucson. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the work that goes on there for, I'm going to sum it up and just say it is an absolute godsend to have this service and organization, because it helps support teachers in a way that augments what otherwise could be very expensive out-of-pocket experiences for them. You help solve that with this, not only the organization's mission, but its physical warehouse that provides. Tell our listeners a little more about that.
Absolutely, and thank you for asking. Treasures for Teachers Tucson is set up, it's a resource center that's set up to assist teachers in the supplies that they attain for their classrooms. Mm-hmm. Instead of spending the money that they do at the Walmarts and the Targets and other stores where they shop, they can get an annual membership and then be able to come to the warehouse and pick up some lightly used or new items that they can use in the classroom. So it significantly drops the amount that they're spending annually to teach our children.
That's right. And it is for teachers of all kind of levels. What I've seen in my own tour of the warehouse and from speaking with others who frequent it, there are paper supplies, there are, you know, pens and crayons and decor that often help in activities or just making their classrooms a little bit more comfortable. But there are also books and I think software, or at least opportunities to maybe get computer computer accessories. Is that correct?
I think more some support material.
Okay,
for
that's
them,
what it is.
Not so much the equipment itself.
Okay. There are other organizations that can help with that for sure. But I was always really impressed with just the sheer amount of items that often are donated by other suppliers. They will donate some of the workbooks and the paper and the things, you know, pencils and pens and crayons. But just a whole assortment of supplies also by subject. So there can be math and spelling or writing opportunities and tools and kits, but also science and some. It's not just the fun artsy stuff, I guess is what I'm saying, which is very important because those are often not paid for but in a teacher's budget or their school's budget. And teachers who are so dedicated, they often pay so much of their own paycheck to help augment and supplement the kind of things that are needed in the classroom. This is a way that they either spend less or sometimes can get for free, right?
Exactly. That is correct. And we take all types of items, as I mentioned, gently used or brand new. So clipboards, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, the art things to write with, reams of paper. There's just so many different things, and we always ask individuals to come and take a walk through the warehouse, see what's there, understand a little bit more about what's available, because a lot of these things sometimes could end up in a trash can, whereas they can end up in the classroom teaching, again, in the community.
Exactly.
And of course, we all know that what happens in the schools affects all of us in the community at some point or another.
Sure. Well, and I think all school districts themselves are having have had to and are continuing to need to tighten their belts, and then that impacts everything on a school campus, and the teachers end up seeing, you know, they're right in the front line dealing with students and parents, and are wanting to be able to provide the best environment for learning, and that means things, items, supplies, like you said. Tell me and tell our listeners, Treasures for Teachers Tucson, you mentioned, has a membership opportunity for teachers. Can private members of the community also be members, or do they, and in the membership, is that part of the revenue building that happens for the organization?
It is. I don't know if it's part of the revenue. It is documented, so different things can be written off, the majority of which I'm not sure, I don't think can. But again, they can help the teachers, as I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. in assisting them. And so I don't forget, the location is just off of I-10 and Ina.
That's right.
Is where the resource center is located. But anybody can look up Treasures, the number 4, Teachers, Tucson. And then they'd be able to find out more information there. It's been around for well over a decade. And again, they will do site visits. They're trying to provide for schools, I guess, from Red Rock, Pima County, Cochise mm-hmm. County, Santa Cruz, different things of that nature, different school districts. And so that reach is expanding.
That's fantastic that you cover so much of Southern Arizona. And again, Pima County, for sure, is so vast. So teachers who may be as far away as out in Ajo, or even on some of the tribal communities out in Sells and down in Arivaca, and, you know, I'm thinking of the far corners.
Oh, yeah.
That sometimes don't know. Hopefully they're listening and we can get more information out to them, and any listeners that know people out in the outlying areas, and then also Santa Cruz County, Cochise County, and other areas. I think it's fantastic that they can get a membership, that they can come and tour the warehouse if they haven't seen it, and maybe tell others, and then folks who might be interested in donating items or supplies, or some in another way providing support, maybe providing a grant, or
absolutely
things like that. What I understand, tell me if I'm correct in this, is also students have an opportunity not only to volunteer but also maybe be an intern or somehow participate in being a part of this?
There are some volunteer opportunities that are set up with the Resource Center. We have a few volunteers there now. They'll want to speak with Adrian, who is actually the founder of Treasures for Teachers Tucson, mm-hmm. but she's down there as well. So we want to make sure that they're in touch with her. She knows specifically what's going on, what can be assisted, and how it can help. And then, of course, that ongoing process. But yes, there's absolutely the opportunity for volunteers to assist with that program. And it's for educators, not just teachers. It's any educator set up, they're able to participate as well.
Okay, and that is a good distinction. That means folks who maybe are in the administration of education, whether a district or maybe they volunteer for some other kind of tutoring group, or maybe are retired educators, they still have an opportunity to participate. That's fantastic, and what a great concept that Adrian came up with all those years ago. I've had the pleasure of meeting Adrian, and she is a dynamo. She runs around and does not stop.
Yes, she is a fireball.
So we want to make sure to give her some help with that. How long have you been serving on the board?
Just over a year at this point.
Oh, my
gosh.
Just over a year, so. I was thinking it was much longer because you're so very well-versed in that, and I know out in community you're always telling people about it. You amplify the message, and you advocate for them so well. So congratulations on that. I think it's a fairly fairly good-sized board. Quite a few members, and they come from all different walks of life in the community to help support this cause.
That is correct. We are looking for some additional board members, but we do have things pretty much situated at this point. And again, with the projected growth and what we're looking at from there, of course, having a few more board members would help, and it is across the spectrum. So.
Fantastic. Well, if people want to get involved, there might be a board seat. If you want to find out more about Treasures for Teachers, that's Treasures, the number 4, Teachers,
And then, I believe it's .org.
.org. And so, we'll have some more information ongoing with that. Eugene, we're going to take a deeper dive, but all of that is going to happen after our first break, which is coming up. Listeners are listening to Rainmakers here on KVOI. New shoes on. And we're back. This is Rainmakers. Matt Neely is our producer behind the glass, keeping everything rolling. Matt, it's great to see you this morning. And
good to be back, Lydia.
Thanks for all the good tunes you're playing.
All right.
We are, I am Lydia Aranda, your host on Rainmakers, and we are this morning at this hour listening and speaking with Mr. Eugene Carter. We were in the last segment talking about Eugene's role on the board of directors of a fantastic nonprofit, also one of those probably somewhat hidden gems here in Tucson that serves all of Southern Arizona. It's called Treasures for Teachers Tucson. That's a little bit of a tongue twister for me this morning. Treasures for Teachers Tucson, and it provides, I think you were saying, Eugene, it provides supplies, but also other resources for educators, not just for formal teachers, but folks who are in the educating space or maybe retired from that career.
Correct.
And we were giving you, any of the listeners who are wanting to know how to find out more or maybe to give a call to the executive director, Adrian. She can be contacted, or someone else, one of the students or other volunteers that are at the warehouse. You can give a call to 520-425-3956. And the website, let's give a corrected website. Eugene, I think you said it is T, as in the letter T, the number 4, teachers, so T4Teachers, plural, .org.
That's correct.
And people can find out more about that, or they can go out and take a visit to the warehouse at 6800 North Camino Martin in Tucson. But always best to give a call just to make sure that folks can be there to greet you. And one more time, that number is 520-425-3956. So I think we're doing a good plug for teachers and the kind of resources available to them. If listeners have a question or have a comment about how they perhaps support teachers and educators here, please feel free to give us a call at KVOI. We're at 520-790-2040. And in the meanwhile, Eugene, let's talk a little bit more about what has brought you into the interest. I'm going to take a guess. It's because you are very community-minded. It seems all of your career, as I understand it, whether it be when you were in the military or since stepping back into civilian life, that you're very cognizant about how communities run, how teams run, and it all means kind of coming together and finding your role so that you can work toward the greater good.
Absolutely. I know during my youth and the whole time growing up, there have been different organizations that I've been involved with. And of course, we know we have a number of those here in the Tucson area.
Sure.
That are set up to help in the community, dealing with the youth that are growing up, but also with adults. And what I find quite often is that a lot of times we're not able to personally pay back to that organization or individual that's helped us out. So we generally have to pay it forward the same way that they paid it toward us. And so whatever we can do in that realm or that spectrum, then I definitely want to try and be involved with, especially if it's something that's near and dear to my heart. I think we all want to do that. So it allows us an opportunity to give back.
And I think education is one of those things, right?
Absolutely.
And I think it would not be far-fetched to say that we would agree that teachers are never truly compensated for the absolute deep work that they do in forming and formulating opportunities for our youth.
Absolutely. And that's not only in the formal school. We have our different school districts that are set up. But we also have educators in our spiritual life, educators by way of mentors. And also we have a number of facilities, Boys and Girls Club, the Y that's set up, and a number of other organizations that fit that spectrum also. So being able to at least volunteer or share some of our own experiences, it doesn't have to be a lot, but if we all can do a little bit, it makes it a little bit easier to take care of.
That's
and we're
right.
All affected by everything that happens in our general community.
Absolutely. And I think earlier we were speaking and you were here in the room when we had our first guest this morning, Mr. Roy Sparks. And I kind of like how he said it. It's a tender time right now. There's a lot going on in the world There's also a lot that's a little bit uncertain, or maybe a lot uncertain, that's making folks a little bit anxious, making folks a little bit uncertain. And when it comes to the nonprofits in our communities, they're businesses too, and they need to be weathering some storms when it comes particularly to fundraising or maybe donations or what I like to say resource development. I do have wearing my other hats and other profession in my day job, so to speak, grant writing, resource development, building strategic alliances. That's all the world that I'm in. And it's kind of a tricky time right now because folks aren't really sure where perhaps the cash is coming from. But mm-hmm. we need to make sure that also in-kind contributions count. And that often comes in the form of volunteer hours.
Absolutely.
And our boards of directors of nonprofits often are volunteer boards. And so that really, really counts when folks are really attentive, can give some guidance. Maybe set up parameters, and also the idea of collaborating with other organizations. I think we heard Royce talk about that. I know that's very much a part of what you do in your daily life and other groups that you get involved in, including the World's Best Connectors. Tell us a little bit about what you do with that.
World's Best Connectors is based in the Phoenix area, mm-hmm. throughout the valley there by Denise Meredith.
She's a rock star in and of herself, indeed. A legend.
I was able to work with her a few years back doing some different things on the campus here at the U of A, mm-hmm. with some of the athletes, and just trying to put those things together from that standpoint. Now, World's Best Connectors, very effective in been doing some things with the NILO project, that's name, image, and likeness for our athletes, now mm-hmm. that they're able to be compensated mm-hmm. for their name, image, and likeness versus the schools so much. That's still obviously a factor.
Sure.
But there are a number of other programs, Wish I Had Known and a few others. But the primary thing with World's Best Connectors is to be able to connect with one another, different businesses, to be able to support different businesses, and to get the word out on a number of things. So,
again, collaboration as well as networking, you know, it's what makes the world go.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And when it all comes down to it, we all are interacting with one another on mm-hmm. one level or another.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's great that we find together and individually other additional ways to amplify messages, to encourage others to speak up. And when they can't, you know, for some of us to be the voice of those who can't speak and make sure to kind of create that pathway, or like you said, maybe educate and inform and train and demonstrate.
And I think a lot of people don't realize the amount of knowledge they may have or the experience that they've had. That weighs a whole lot going forward and sharing mm-hmm. with individuals, teachers, students, different people of all walks of life. Again, just being able to share our different experiences. Mm-hmm. That is sometimes a message to someone that we may not know, but they may be dealing with something similar or have gone through something similar, and being able to partner up helps out for, again, those that are coming up, whether they be younger students or older students,
sure.
as we become, as we get older too. So
I think, we're all learning. Hopefully we are all in a lifetime of learning, lifelong learning, mm-hmm. And leadership. And part of that experience means recognizing that just because someone may be older than us or even been in an industry longer than we may have been, that we find ourselves in, there are ways that we can teach each other at different levels. So that exchange is always really important.
Very powerful. And one of the areas you mentioned, as we go forward, we're seeing that there are some lacks in leadership, mm-hmm. also some other things that have been set up where people are aging out of those areas, mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of infill to come in. So that leaves a lot of opportunities for young people who are coming into the workforce or coming into maturity, however they would define themselves,
sure.
that they may not have been aware of or looked at.
Yeah, I think a succession planning is a concept that is so important in all businesses, whether they are community organizations, public agencies, or private, small or large businesses. That succession planning is often something that doesn't get as much attention until all of a sudden it's needed, and then that can be a little bit different of a scramble if there wasn't really a plan in place.
Exactly.
I wonder, I know we're going to be a little bit close to a break here, so I'm just going to give a little tidbit, kind of a teaser out to our listeners, and then we can do a deeper dive when we come back. But part of that concept of planning is what Legal Shield and ID Shield are based on. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Very similar to a lot of our insurances. In fact, we're regulated by the insurance commissioner of every state. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the protections that we think we have and don't realize that we have, or we're just not aware of what they are. And I heard someone say one time, as far as legal things, if you don't know your rights, do you really have them?
That's right, because again, this is very much you don't know what you don't know, but we want you to know. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about those services. You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI The Voice. Good morning. We are back. This is Lydia Aranda, your host for Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice here at KVOI, The Voice at 10:30 a.m. on your radio dial. Matt Neely is our producer behind the glass, and he's keeping us on track this bright Monday morning. Hi, Matt.
Good morning, and Brendan's already here. So see, it's the circle is complete.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Brendan Kraft also makes great things happen behind the glass. Killed it last week. He was handling everything in what I call in the magical cockpit there, keeping us all going. And we are listening today to some of the insights and experiences from a couple of different gentlemen. In our first hour, we had Roy Sparks from Intermountain Centers for Human Development, and now we've been enjoying this second hour with Eugene Carter from Legal Shield and ID Shield, and also the board of directors of a great organization called Treasures for Teachers Tucson. Eugene, thanks for being here this morning. And right before the break, we started to talk about protections, rights, securities that people have if something should go wrong, succession planning, business planning, even family business or family issues in the states. All of those things require not only a lot of planning, but sometimes there are hiccups along the way. And similar to the fact that people buy insurance for lots of different things, business insurance, auto insurance, home insurance, even life insurance, we may not always be thinking about the protections that come from a legal aspect, and that's what Legal Shield's all about. Tell us a little more.
Absolutely. Legal Shield was started back in 1972. It was started because of an accident that happened in 1969 where the founder of the company, Mr. Harlan Stonecipher, found himself in a car accident while he was in the hospital. And ironically enough, he was a teacher by trade, but had become an insurance salesman. Mm-hmm. And he had car insurance to take care of his wrecked vehicle. He had medical insurance to take care of his hospital stay. He even had life insurance in the event that he passed away. His wife, Shirley, and their children would be provided for. What he came to find out, one of the things that he needed but didn't have was insurance to deal with the lawsuit. What happened was in the accident, a lady tried to pass an 18-wheeler. And this is back when streets were one direction,
mm-hmm,
each way.
Mm-hmm. Well, one lane each way.
Correct. She tried to pass an 18-wheeler and couldn't get back in front of it quick enough, had the accident with him. She was sighted on the scene. He went to the hospital, as I mentioned, and he spent about a year's salary representing himself to make sure or take care of the legal defense against the lawsuit. Well, at the end of that time period, his attorney shook hands with him and told him congratulations. And he said, congratulations for what? The lady was sighted on the scene. But nevertheless, again, he had to pay about a year's salary just to defend himself. And what we find is if you are sued or somebody places allegations against you, then you need to defend those. And if you don't, right, then you could find yourself in a very unwanted place.
Yes.
So
needing help and not being able to afford it.
Exactly.
And, you know, attorneys provide an absolute service. They have an expertise that we need, just like accountants and doctors and nurses and therapists and all kinds of other people. And so they do have their fees. And while some have the flexibility to be able to work with you or give a discount or maybe work on contingency, maybe even pro bono, that's not usually the case by and large.
Right, right.
So Legal Shield sounds like it's an opportunity to buy into a service that allows one access to
To legal defense.
Legal defense.
But it's not only just the defense, it's just for questions as well. And just
maybe
so that
reviews of documents or something?
Those are all included as well. Consultations.
Okay.
And generally a consultation, as I understand it, is in the general's phase, is whether an individual has the ability to pay, and as well whether that attorney is able to cover that particular area. And those are generally what
you
I
mean
understand
like a specialty area?
Correct.
Okay.
Because just like there are different doctors cover
sure.
different areas, attorneys cover different
Absolutely.
Areas as well. So to be able to have that experience or that exposure, that resource available becomes essential. So much to the point that when it comes to the criminal side of things, that we have attorneys that are appointed to make sure that an individual goes through the process without having certain rights violated.
Good.
So if we provide that on a basis at no cost to different individuals, and we call it, or it's identified as the public defender, mm-hmm. then we understand those things are very important. And so what we do very quickly, if you will, is we take the combined purchasing power, say you and I and a number of people maybe that work at the radio station are paying in to that plan, then it amplifies or exponentiates our power, that set. And to give a quick example, about 6 or 7 years ago, I think was the last time I was able to find out, but if an individual had a plan, a family plan for maybe $40 or $50 for their whole family, as well as a business that might have a plan on average about $100 to cover their business, that's a monthly amount, but they would be able to combine that. So here in Arizona at that time, whatever plan they had, it equated to a little over $600,000 a month at the law firm. So we paid our monthly amount to be able to access it. And when they picked up the phone, we were like a $600,000 a month client.
So they're going to answer the call.
Absolutely they are. And though we're not the only client, we tend to be the number one at the firms that we're at.
That's fantastic because, again, there are specialties. Not every attorney has as much experience in a certain area. And, you know, real estate law is going to be very different from personal injury, which is going to be different from criminal, which is going to be different from, you know,
real
maybe
estate
banking or estate planning when somebody passes or is preparing or even small things that a small business might need.
Absolutely. And we find that a lot of people understand, and most people are not in objection to using attorneys. They're just an objection to paying.
Sure.
And at $200 to $400 an hour, we can clearly understand why that's a factor,
yeah.
because most people aren't making $20 to $30 per hour wherever they're employed. So
right.
that's 10 plus hours just to have a short conversation.
Yeah.
So we, if you will, look at it as maybe an entrance to a country club that's just out of range for most. And we make that available or possible so people can get that information, have those documents looked at, as well as a number of other things that we deal with on a regular basis.
Right. There is power in numbers. And so the more people that are members of this service that's available to the program, that helps. And like you said, it's just like insurance. And sometimes individuals as well as small businesses have a hard time affording health insurance, medical insurance. So similarly, if they can buy into a program that allows them to be part of an aggregate, that makes it better. And we've seen that. You know, we've seen chambers of commerce, the municipal chambers, the diverse chambers, other industry associations and small business associations, when they come together and they can offer benefits to their members, that's great. And this sounds like someone doesn't necessarily need to be first a member of an industry association or a chamber in order to sign up. They
Absolutely
become
not.
A direct member of the Legal Shield program, of the ID Shield program.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Now tell us, what's the difference between the Legal Shield and the ID Shield?
Well, the Legal Shield is set up to deal with attorneys,
mm-hmm.
dealing with different things we deal with there. And again, we all use attorneys for different things that we do. It's just more times than not, we're using the attorney of the individual that we're dealing with mm-hmm. or against. And so if you're dealing with someone, you probably don't want to use their resources. You want to have resources that are there primarily for your protection,
yes.
for your assistance. And that's whether you're a business or an individual. And we do offer that in the employee benefit area as well.
Good.
And more people are picking up on that. On the identity theft or the ID Shield side of the house, I'm sure most of our listeners out are familiar with data breaches,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with situations of identity theft. Matter of fact, in most rooms where we're given a presentation, we can go with a raise of hands by those that know someone that's been affected by identity theft or have been affected by it themselves. And it's usually without a hand being down. They're all raised because everybody knows someone that's been affected or they've been personally affected mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we look at or provide is to make sure that we have licensed private investigators to help an individual have their information restored. And when I say restored, that means separating the individual that tried to use their information from their information. And there's all types of identity theft that are set up. One of the most dangerous ones is the medical identity theft, where if somebody were to compromise a medical information file, then you could have a change in blood type, you could have procedures listed that haven't taken place, or you can have a listing where procedures that have taken place are no longer on there.
And that is so dangerous. There are just so many implications and domino effect of that. Sounds like that's a really good opportunity for, again, individuals, families, small businesses, as well as associations, chambers, mm-hmm. and to participate in this. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get back. But before we go to the break, let's tell people how they might find out more about Legal Shield or maybe have them get in touch with you. How would they find
Absolutely.
Out more?
They can find me on my website at eugenecarter.org. That's EugeneCarter.org.
Wonderful. Well, I bet you're going to get some inquiries of this, and we'll be able to make sure that you can steer them in the right way, answer some of their questions. We're going into our next break. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. Please stick with us. We've got another segment coming. And we're back after our break. We've been talking on Rainmakers this morning with our guest, Eugene Carter. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. And we just had The Children of Sanchez by Chuck Mangione playing as we were coming back from break. Thanks, Matt, for always playing great tunes. This morning has been full of conversation about services and organizations we may not, and resources that we may not know are out there and available. So a lot of aha moments this morning. And Eugene, in particular, not only were we talking about Treasures for Teachers Tucson and the resources available for educators right here in our backyard that are available to all folk, all educators around Southern Arizona, but in this last couple of segments we've been of the show this morning, we've been talking about protections, Legal Shield, ID Shield, Legal Shield being available to individuals, small businesses, or organizations to have more access to attorneys and legal expertise at an affordable rate, sometimes maybe even at a complimentary rate, and also ID Shield for protections against, hopefully before someone goes through some identity theft or identity compromise. But certainly if you are in that situation, there could be some resources there. But there's also information available before one signs up. In other words, you have Absolutely. You put on presentations in the community. Right. You come and meet with organizations to explain this so that folks know how they might best take advantage of the opportunity.
Absolutely. And the biggest part, of course, is to make sure that people do have that access. As a company, we're offering services to well over 4.5 million people at this time, 4.5 million bodies. But the big thing is to make sure that they're able to have that access before a situation occurs, when a situation occurs, and even after a situation occurs. And that's some things that some of our other protections don't offer, meaning that somebody has to go through a bad experience. And so a lot of times that's where our mind is at. Mm-hmm. But if we could talk to professionals in those areas that have experience, that know what's going on, then we can hopefully avoid some of the headache and heartache that comes without knowledge.
Wonderful. Everybody, you know, the old adage, we don't know what we don't know. Right. So we want to find out. And that's part of what Rainmakers does and The Morning Voice does. Every day of the week, we have wonderfully informative and didn't know about that. Let me learn more kind of conversations, not just here at Rainmakers on Mondays, but we're looking here about folks coming together around workforce or education or community to help the greater good, to help people thrive, to help businesses succeed. On Tuesdays, we've got Ted Maxwell talking about engagement. On Wednesdays, we've got Grant Kruger, who talks about food for thought and things going on in the restaurant business and policies and such, but also some interesting opportunities and events. On Thursdays, we've got Tom Moulton talking about tourism and some, particularly some of the interesting history and background trivia that might be that folks might not otherwise know about in our wonderful tourism all across Southern Arizona. And it wraps up on Fridays with Dr. Ed Ackerley talking about the great things and positive things that happen at the U of A with his U of A Wonders section, and also Small Business Success. So it's a full week that we like to also make available to our guests like you, Eugene, to come on and tell us a little bit more about what might we not know and where can we find out a little more. Certainly, Treasures for Teachers Tucson is one of those, and I want to give a quick plug. I think you said the website is T4teachers.org.
That's correct.
Wonderful. And the phone number there, 520-425-3956, if folks want to come out and check out the warehouse, get a tour, learn a little bit more, or maybe tell Adrian that they want to volunteer, or they might set up a time with you all at the board.
And we definitely encourage people to at least find out about the resource so they can let other teachers know, let other educators in the area know. Mm-hmm. And again, they will do site visits when asked to come out so that they can educate people about the resource that's available. And that's what all of this is. It's just making sure that we know what things are there to help us to progress or move to the next step.
That's fantastic. And if people want to know more about Legal Shield and ID Shield and how to get involved, or they're just curious and want a little bit of a deeper dive, they can reach you directly at your website, EugeneCarter.org. So that's
correct.
EugeneCarter.org.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you. And there is a phone number on the site as well. So if they wanted to call, they can do that. And if I'm tied up or busy, just like I am right now, they can certainly leave a message.
Great.
And we'll definitely get back to them. They're more than welcome to text also.
And you are also part of World's Best Connectors and the kind of work that's going on with NILO, which is NILO.org, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's name, image, and likeness. That's where the athletes are able to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness now.
Right. And you and Denise and others that are part of NILO advocate for that, but also inform about that and hold
correct.
Events. Isn't that like networking events and things like that?
It's very similar to that, absolutely. And just to add to that, we have people that are involved with the organization internationally. I think the furthest out is we have an individual from, I don't want to mess it up, I think she's from Sweden.
Oh.
But in that general area.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be Sweden. We may be mixing that up. But that general area. My point is that there are people around the globe that are involved with the organization. So
that's great. Eugene, keep up the good work. You are also one of our unsung heroes that you move like stealth through the community, but I see you at so many events. We know so many of the same people who say the same thing I'm saying, is that you get in there, you're about understanding, about knowing the information, and about sharing it with others so that others can succeed. Thank you so much for being a rainmaker.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to work with you and others.
Everybody, have a wonderful Monday. Enjoy your week. I think we are off next Monday, and Matt will tell you a little bit more about that.
We'll have an encore presentation of your conversation with Caitlin Schmidt and
Ann Miske.
And Ann Miske. That was a lot of fun. It'll be good to hear it again.
It sure will be. Everyone, have a great week. Again, this has been Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. We've been speaking with Eugene Carter and earlier with Roy Sparks. Have a good one. Southern Arizona.